Welcome to this episode of Teen Health Matters. I'm Patrick, and my co-hosts for today are Na and Chidera. And our guests today are Dr. Ro Rogers Bonacorsi, Bureau Director for the Howard County Health Department's Bureau of Behavioral Health, and Shante Hunt, Opioid Misuse Prevention Coordinator. And on today's episode, we will be discussing opioid and prescription drug misuse and how to prevent it.
Hi, this is Chidera. Yeah, despite efforts to address drug use in the United States, opioid and prescription drug use has become an epidemic. The CDC estimated that there are 33,000 deaths due to opioid overdose throughout the United States in 2015.
According to the 2014 Maryland Youth Risk Survey, 11% of high schoolers said they'd abused prescription drugs, and 13% said that they smoked marijuana.
So now we are going to jump into our interview with our guests. So would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Ro Rogers Bonacorsi. I'm the director of the Bureau of Behavioral Health here at Howard County Health Department. I'm also the local addiction authority.
And my name is Shante Hunt. I am the Overdose Response Program Coordinator and the Opioid Misuse Prevention Coordinator for Howard County here at the Bureau of Behavioral Health at the Health Department.
Well, thank you guys for taking the time today to talk to us. And so, jumping right into it, can you tell us exactly what are opioids and why are they considered a major problem right now?
Sure. Opioids are drugs that are generally synthesized to mimic those drugs that come from the poppy plant. So I'm talking about drugs like opium and morphine. These drugs are also central nervous system depressants, so they slow down the body and the brain. And they're actually excellent pain relievers. They produce a euphoric effect, and this is the reason that they're so addictive and have now become a part of this nationwide epidemic.
Right. So, like, what kind of prescription drugs that are, like, here now have opioids in them, and, like, what do they treat?
Sure. Opiate prescription drugs include morphine, codeine, oxycodone, Dilaudid, and Vicodin, and also fentanyl, which is used usually to treat cancer patients. And all of those medications are used to treat pain. However, there are also two additional opioids, methadone and buprenorphine, that are actually used to treat opioid substance abuse disorders.
All right, so, like, would Advil and Tylenol be considered an opioid, or?
Not at all.
Okay.
Those are analgesics that treat pain over the counter.
Okay. Now, the Secretary of Health issued a state of emergency about the opioid crisis. Can you tell us about the state of emergency and why it was issued?
In March 1, 2017, Governor Hogan declared a state of emergency to battle the heroin opioid epidemic in the state of Maryland. Through executive order, it was declared a state of emergency to respond to the rapid escalation of heroin and opioid crisis in Maryland. States of emergency usually are associated with weather events. However, Governor Hogan declared a state of emergency due to the opioid epidemic in Maryland to be a national disaster, as opioid deaths have doubled in the state of Maryland.
So if opioids and prescription drugs that are opioids are so dangerous, why are they continued to be prescribed by doctors?
Prescription drugs are a category of drugs used for various health complications.
Every medication has some risk of harmful effects and sometimes serious ones. So prescribers consider the potential benefits and risks of each patient before prescribing a medication. So when those medications are misused, they can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. So many people take prescriptions as prescribed for their purpose intended. However, there's an estimated 48 million people, according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, that have been prescribed prescription drugs for non-medical reasons during their lifetime. So that's about 20% of the population.
So what kind of provisions are, like, put in place to prevent stuff like that from happening?
To prevent the
misuse
of substances from occurring?
Yeah.
Well, what we have now is the prescription drug monitoring program, which physicians have been mandated in Maryland to utilize. And that prescription drug monitoring programs allows physicians the ability to look at what medications their patient may have already been prescribed. So therefore, if the patient has a prescription from a pharmacy across town, that doctor would then make a decision whether or not they should prescribe additional medications or not prescribe them at all.
So can you tell us the difference between, like, the terms of abuse and addiction?
While many people use the term drugs of abuse and addiction interchangeably, abuse and addiction are separate and distinct, have separate and distinct meanings. One can abuse a drug without necessarily being addicted to the drug. Drug abuse definition focuses around the way a person uses the drug, while the drug addiction definition focuses on the psychological or physiological effects of the drug on that body. Drug abuse in general is a term for abuse of drugs, including alcohol and cigarettes. Drug abuse refers to using drugs even though it has become a problem in your life. You may have begun using drugs without any noticeable negative consequences, but as you continue to use the drug, abusing that drug, there can be additional negative consequences become more and more apparent. Drug addiction can be described as having tolerance, withdrawal, and inability to stop using a drug despite numerous attempts. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders, DSM-5, is a standard used for medical professionals to diagnose and treat illness, including addiction. There are 11 criteria related to the substance use disorder category. A minimum of 2 to 3 criteria would equate to a mild substance use disorder diagnosis, while 4 to 5 to moderate, 6 to 7 to severe.
So is it safe to say that abuse leads to addiction?
Abuse could lead to addiction, but not necessarily.
As you both seem to work pretty closely with opioid cases, what can each of you tell us about the kind of work you do and what you've seen so far?
Well, as the Overdose Response Program Coordinator here, what I do is I train people in the community on how to administer naloxone. And naloxone is a life-saving medication that can actually overturn an opiate overdose. So those trainings are given here at the health department about once a month. And then I also go to various community organizations at their request. So we've now trained over 1,000 people in the last 3 years in that program alone. And as the Opioid Misuse Prevention Coordinator, I oversee the Overdose Fatality Review Team, and we actually have a meeting today. And this review is of each death of a county resident who has died as a result of drug or alcohol abuse. So that is, you know, not quite a happy time for us to go over those deaths, but it's important because we've created an opioid intervention team that will actually implement strategies to prevent those overdoses in the future. At least that's our hope.
Now, going back to your guys' experiences within Howard County, what ways do you see people misusing opioids? Is it just, you know, straight up overdoses? Are they mixing them with anything? Are they taking other prescriptions with it? What are the most common ways that you see people interacting with them?
Well, first I wanted to talk about some research related to this topic, and then I'll get into talking more about Howard County specific. But NIDA, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, reports that adolescents experience with drugs or continue to take them for several reasons. So I have a list here of different reasons of why adolescents may experience or continue to take drugs: to fit in, to feel good, to feel better, to do better, and to experiment are some common reasons. And related to Howard County, I would say to do better stands out to me as a significant factor for some of the Howard County teens who report being under a great deal of pressure to perform well in school, to be accepted into prestigious colleges. These teens report limited free time and limited sleep given the pressures to excel. These pressures can lead to behavioral health issues such as drug abuse, depression, and anxiety.
Okay, so like you guys covered, like people misuse prescription or opioid medications by like taking them in ways that are not intended. So like what are some ways that people actually misuse opioids?
Some common ways prescription drugs may be misused could be taking someone else's medication, taking a medication, a prescription medication in a way that other than it was prescribed, taking a medication, prescription medication to get high, or mixing it with other drugs. For instance, mixing with alcohol or benzodiazepine with an opioid could lead to deadly side effects.
In addition to the consequences you've mentioned, what are other health effects of opioid and prescription drug use?
In a previous question, I mentioned some of the drug categories of prescription drugs that are often used or potentially misused: opioids, depressants, which are sedatives, or stimulants. So I'm going to highlight the side effects to those specific drugs. Some of the common side effects for opioids would be, the most common would be constipation and nausea. Some common side effects would be sedation, dizziness, vomiting, abdominal bloating, liver damage, respiratory depression, and even death. Some of the common side effects for depressants, that would be sedatives or tranquilizers. Some of those common side effects would be impaired concentration, confusion, abnormal thinking, mood swings, including anxiety, agitation, depression, paranoia, feeling very anxious or nervous, euphoria, feeling very happy, sleep disturbances, insomnia, drowsiness, vivid dreaming, and nightmares. And then some of the common side effects for stimulants would be reduced appetite, tremors, palpitations, restlessness, sleeplessness, anxiety, shaking, sweating, and some stimulants can even cause hallucinations.
Now, with those all being effects of taking the opioids and other prescription medications, what are the effects of opioid withdrawal when you stop putting them inside your body? What are the consequences of that?
So I'll talk about some of the withdrawals of opioids. So I'm going to break it into a couple different, two different categories here: early withdrawal symptoms and late withdrawal symptoms. So some of the early withdrawal symptoms to opioids would be agitation, anxiety, muscle aches, increased tearing, insomnia, runny nose, sweating, yawning. And some of the later withdrawal symptoms would be cramping, diarrhea, vomiting, increased heart rate and blood pressure, restlessness, shakiness, chills, sweating, goosebumps, dilated pupils, to name a few.
So Shante, you said that you guys are working on an opioid prevention, an intervention program, and you
yeah.
stated that you're going to be doing developing some strategies to implement that. So what are some of the strategies that you guys will be using?
Well, the main thing we want to do is we want to reach out to those who are still at risk for opioid use and abuse. So what we do is we go out to the treatment centers in the community and we offer the naloxone training, because those that are still using substances are those people that will need the medicine more readily. So I've gone out to various methadone programs in the community to offer those patients medication, and I recently did a training right before the 4th of July, because oftentimes people celebrate too much and mm-hmm. they could celebrate to the point of even death. So that's one of the strategies that we do. We also reach out to the family members of those people who have overdosed as well. We have peer recovery support specialists, and those are people who have been in recovery themselves and they've done very well and they're now leading productive lives. And we have those peers go out with the police department, and they're also stationed at the hospital to talk with the people who have overdosed, as well as their family members and friends, to give them treatment resources and information so that they can get the help that they need.
And this is within Howard County, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do this every day.
Now, referring back to opioid effects, what has been the effect of opioid and prescription drug use on teens in Howard County? Are there any particular trends you're seeing?
In Howard County, the overdose deaths are occurring mostly in adults, luckily. the current age range of overdose deaths in Howard County would be 18 to 59 years with a mean age of 35. I'd like to share some data related to some recent data that was released, Howard County specific data, June 2017 data from the Maryland High School Youth Risk Behavioral Survey. This is 2014 data that was just released in 2017, but I want to give you some of the highlights of that data that I think would fit well with answering this question. Female students reported higher rates of alcohol use than male students. Female students who ever used alcohol had higher rates of ever using other drugs. Students who were current using or been using alcohol users had higher rates of current marijuana use and prescription drug use without a prescription. Students who were current or binge alcohol users had higher rates of feeling sad or hopelessness, considering suicide and or made a suicide plan. Compared to other peers statewide, Howard County high schoolers reported lower rates of all alcohol use in every grade. Howard County female students reported a higher rate of any lifetime alcohol use than females statewide. A lower percentage of Howard County females reported current alcohol use than females statewide. Howard County females reported a higher rate of binge alcohol use than Howard County males, but fewer than students reporting statewide. Related to prescription medications, I wanted to point out almost half of those who ever drank alcohol used marijuana more than 10 times the rate of non-drinkers, and almost one-fifth reported using prescription drugs without a doctor's prescription.
Okay, so what can you guys tell us about heroin use? Like, are opioids like a common gateway drug to heroin?
Many people actually with legitimate injuries due to sports or car accidents or surgeries have actually become susceptible to opioid addiction. And some have actually become addicted with just one prescription of that pain medication. Oftentimes what happens is a person's pain may be so great that they take that prescription more than it's actually prescribed. They tend to run out beforehand, and those prescriptions can only be filled within a certain time frame. That person, then their body begins to crave and want the drug more, and especially because of the euphoria that comes from the drug, and it drives them to get more of that drug. However, they end up turning to the streets for heroin, which is a cheaper alternative, and that takes them down this path that they never ever expected. So yes, opioids can be a gateway to drugs like heroin.
Now, going back to the data you mentioned earlier about the relationship between alcohol and drugs, why do you think that there's a correlation between teens that use alcohol being more likely to try drugs than not?
I think it relates to the gateway drug philosophy that we're referring to, where people may start using cigarettes at a young age, and then they may try alcohol and marijuana, and some may continue on and try harder drugs like heroin. Some may not, but some may continue on. So I think it's related to the gateway philosophy.
And in addition, people who are already doing risky behaviors, because if you're a teen and you know you're prohibited from using alcohol until you're 21, you're already engaging in risky behaviors. So that just makes the progression to something more risky even more likely.
So, like, what are some ways of identifying those risk factors in teens and adults? Like, how can you tell if someone is misusing these kind of drugs?
How can you tell if they're misusing? Well, mm-hmm. You're probably going to look at their behavior. So a kid who doesn't, who usually is normally very interested in their sports activities and going out with their friends, who then becomes very isolating and to themselves, that is probably how you're going to tell more so in teens, because they were very sociable. They wanted to hang out, and now they're being elusive, or they're not telling you where they're going, or they're making excuses, or they're lying about where they are, or they're not completing their home assignments, their grades are going down.
So I also wanted to add on to what Shante was referring to regarding this question. It's some of the warning. I want to go over some of the warning signs to drug and alcohol use. And I have a list here that I wanted to reference. The following behaviors in youth might indicate drug or alcohol use or abuse: mood swings, temper flare-ups, inability, defensiveness, academic problems, poor attendance, low grades, disciplinary action, changing of friends, and family, changing of friends and having new friends that they might not want their family to meet, and having a nothing matters attitude, lack of involvement with formal interests or general low energy, finding substances in the youth's room or within their personal effects could be some indications. Physical and mental changes, mental lapses, poor concentration, poor coordination, slurred speech.
So if I was with someone and like they're using these kind of prescription drugs in like a negative way, like what, and I know that there's a potential overdose situation about to happen, like what can I do to prevent that?
Well, the main thing you can do to prevent that, especially if it's an opioid drug, is to become trained in how to use naloxone. They have removed the age restriction that used to be 18 for the use of this medication. And as I stated earlier, we do have those trainings here at the health department. I even do one-on-one trainings for people who just cannot wait until the next training is available because they have a loved one who they know is in danger. But if you come across someone who is in an overdose situation, especially from an opioid, what you may hear are loud gurgling sounds. And many people think their loved one is actually asleep, but it could be their last breath. The person is generally unresponsive and they're limp, they're unconscious. Their skin may be pale or clammy, their fingertips blue. So what you need to do is, of course, get 911 there immediately. Right. To assist you, and then you need to provide rescue breathing until help arrives. So the problem in opioids is that it affects their respiration, so their breathing can no longer sustain their lives. So it's the person that's there to help needs to give that person rescue breaths, at least one breath every 5 seconds.
So would you recommend that teens and adults go through that type of training, all teens?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Contact us here at the health department. We'll be more than happy to schedule you a date and time.
Along with naloxone training, what are some strategies that are being used to combat this drug epidemic?
Well, we have a long list. Shante provided some earlier in some of the other questions that I have a list here that I can quickly run through. We already talked about the state of emergency that was issued in Maryland, so that's an effort on a state level to combat the problem. But on locally in Howard County, we have a whole list of efforts that we're working on either currently or working toward in the future. In the past, in the fall, there was a regional opioid summit with a couple other counties that was put on by the county executive's office, and the health department was involved in that effort. We, in the recent past, had developed, again with the county executive's office and the health department, a public service announcement, a 30-second public service announcement video clip that we had developed and was showing in all the movie theaters in Howard County. That's a movie clip on opioid awareness prevention. It involved a young teen who had lost a death of her sister to opiates. And we also have an opioid intervention team in Howard County. Lots of other counties have implemented similar teams, and we call that the opioid intervention team, or OIT for short. Some of the goals of that team is to reduce the prevalence of opioid addiction, reduce incidence of opioid overdose, reduce rates of opioid deaths, and reduce burden of the disease from the opioid-related problems. We also have an opioid fatality review team that Shante mentioned earlier. We have the opioid response program training and naloxone distribution, and Shante is the coordinator of that program. We have the opioid misuse prevention program, and again, Shante is the coordinator of that program. Various efforts are involved in that program, promoting the prescription drug monitoring program, where prescribers and pharmacists are mandated to use the system. On July 1, 2017, that was a mandate by the state to use the system, and July 1, 2018 will be a mandate to enter data into that system. That is helpful in prescribing and dispensing the medications to know if they've been prescribed those medicines before by another doctor or dispensed at another pharmacy to help prevent over-prescribing and over-dispensing. We also have efforts toward education and training. We recently had a training event on webinar, a one-hour webinar for a CME-CEU credit on opioid best prescribing practices. We have awareness prevention campaigns running. The one specific campaign we have currently is One Opioid Overdose is Too Many. That is a campaign that we have out through various mechanisms, through social marketing, through Facebook, Twitter, mass emails, postal mailings to residents in the county. That that design was on public buses in the county running in this spring through early summer. We're working in the future to put that campaign on billboards in the county and also mall advertisements in the Columbia Mall. We have peer recovery support staff that are on call with the police, with grassroots and the hospital that's on call working with those who had opiate overdoses, with the individuals or their family members. We're working to launch a screening brief intervention referral to treatment, or short, that would be ESPERT, in the Howard County Detention Center. We're also working with Howard County Detention Center to expand medicated-assisted treatment to provide medications to individuals who might be suffering from an opiate use. So, for instance, some of those medications would be buprenorphine or methadone. In addition, we have expanded outpatient treatment and medicated-assisted treatment in Howard County on an outpatient level. We have plans to work toward a crisis stabilization programming and detoxification residential care in the county upcoming. So some of those are some upcoming plans.
Okay, well, thank you for answering all our questions. We were wondering where we could get more information or if you have any other resources.
Well, as always, you can get information here on our website, which is www.hchealth.com/get-help. And there you'll find a resource guide of information for treatment and referral. You could also contact the health department by phone at 410-313-6202.
And I wanted to also mention the Opioid Overdose Prevention Toolkit, which is a SAMHSA toolkit that can be found on the SAMHSA website, which has lots of information around opioid overdose prevention. In addition, I wanted to mention the Heroin Opioid Awareness and Prevention Toolkit prepared by the Maryland State Department of Education. This toolkit has many different resources specific to Maryland-related, resources for students, resources for parents and guardians. So there's lots of information there, but as Shante mentioned, of course, call our number at the front desk at the Bureau of Behavioral Health or visit our website.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your days and coming to talk to us, giving us all this information. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So that's going to do it for our episode of Teen Health Matters on opioids. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Patrick.
I'm Chidera.
I'm Na.
And we will see you on the next episode. Thank you.